For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get the headlines. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory like the Tucson, the Sonata, and the Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. Panthers closed out their road trip with a 4-3 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yes, double win.
Spencer Knight. What?
Took the Panthers minus 1.5.
Oh, dude, that's brutal. Then.
Yeah.
That's brutal then.
What, well, they got an empty netter at the... They got a...
They went extra attacker extra on Spencer attack. Knight. You know, they went extra attacker and they got it to within one very late.
4-2.
Yeah, dude. I tell you what, man. That Lusteranen, Reinhardt, and Lundy line, Paul Maurice called it the safety blanket of the team. I mean, they are just destroying on this run. They are carrying the squad. No Barkey, no Kachuk, no problem. I will say, though, Leroy, this was the home opener of the Columbus Blue Jackets. They honored the late Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
And, dude.
It was cool, right? Did you get the movies?
I got the waterworks this morning. I was like, it was a tough one. That was with his widow and his family and his kids all on the ice. And yeah,
13 seconds.
They had, you know, they didn't have the winger out there. The Panthers, you see what the Panthers did?
No.
They all walked off the bus with Gatorade and Skittles, his favorite snack. That was Kachuk's idea. And Kachuk was busted up because they were teammates in Calgary, but he couldn't be there because he's sick. He's away. He's not with the team.
Right.
So, yeah, man, that was.
It sucks. It sucks that, you know.
That's stuff nightmares are made of. I mean, that's crazy. If you guys don't know the story, Johnny Gaudreau, a.k.a. Johnny Hockey, him and his brother were bike riding at their on the weekend of his sister's wedding, and they were both tragically hit by a drunk driver. Crazy. And isn't I think the wife revealed that she was pregnant, I think a couple weeks afterward. I mean, it's a heartbreaking story, but the Blue Jackets did do an incredible tribute to him last night, as did the Panthers.
That's just like
I think Sam Bennett played with him too.
All the things that happened in this world and that, right?
Yep.
Just add to the, you know.
Absolutely tragic. The Cats will be back on the ice tomorrow at home against Vancouver. So the Cats and the Champs finally get to come home. I'm sure that building will be rocking. Sold out season tickets. You got
2 weeks of the season. They're finally playing their second home game.
I know.
That's crazy, right? I think they were supposed to start on the road, and they just did the first one so they could do the ceremony.
Yep. They'll be back Vancouver tomorrow night and then Saturday at 6.
And then don't they go to Europe next week?
Yeah, I think they do.
They go to, I think they go to Finland.
Is it Finland?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We are little Finland.
Home team.
Yeah.
We are basically little Finland. So, yeah. Go on.
I see hockey doing stuff like this. But some of the other sports, like football playing in Brazil or football. Like,
yeah.
Like, you ain't going to get no, like.
I heard Joe talk about this the other morning, too, about the idea of them putting the Super Bowl in another country. And that.
Too much.
Just give them. All right. I'm fine with expanding the game. Give them a game a year. The Super Bowl? I can't stand for that. That's our hobby.
How big is football in Germany?
I don't know. But they just got it. They don't get a Super Bowl. You know how much money Stephen Ross had to put in that stadium to get Super Bowls back down here? And you're going to give it to Unz Germany?
Atlanta.
Half a billion.
Atlanta hosting the Super Bowl in 28.
Ooh. You know
I'm telling you, man.
Are they building a new stadium?
We're in Atlanta. They already got
Atlanta. One. They just did. It's like a spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the new one. Okay.
Yeah.
You know the craziest thing in the world is there's only one stadium in the NFL. They can't do a new one.
Lambeau.
Yeah, New Orleans. There's nowhere to put it.
Oh, okay.
But Lambeau, for the history of it, they can keep but Lambeau, there's
what is
basically it's like my development.
Could they do anything?
You go house, Lambeau Field.
Could they do something? And I don't know the logistics of this. Could they do it in Baton Rouge for a couple of years like they did with Minnesota?
No, that's not the issue. There's nowhere to put another stadium.
They can't.
No.
Wow. By the way, speaking of, kind of sounds like UFC's coming to New Orleans.
Really?
Dustin Poirier has been doing a lot of wink. He says
who just came out of retirement?
Donald Cerrone says he wants to come out of retirement, and Dana White yesterday was very against it. Like Dana White, he's like, if he needs money, we'll figure it out.
Like, that means he'll loan him the money instead of seeing him fight.
He's been getting his ass kicked.
Yeah. He's the all time.
He was getting credit for that. He looks out for players, the fighter's safety, don't he?
There are certain guys that he'll, like, you know, you think about
genuinely likes
the Forrest Griffins of the world, you know, the Chuck Liddells. Like, Dana does have his guys, and Cowboy's, I think, in that club. I mean, Cowboy literally would fight you on a day's notice. He's an insane person, but he can't win fights anymore. I mean, he's literally the last guy to lose to Conor McGregor.
With the
shoulder. And by the way, said like I basically took a dive. He's like, I didn't want to be in there. I don't understand that. But yeah, Dustin Poirier was like, wink, want to come back? Bring it back to Louisiana. Dude, that place, it's going to go bananas for him. His star rise is so cool to see because he was so underappreciated for so long. But when he knocked out Conor McGregor, dude, the kind of reception he got down here, it was insane in Miami. I can't even imagine the hometown kid gets to come back. He was trying to get it in Lafayette. He was like, can we do it at the Cajun Dome?
No.
And I don't think that's, no. I don't know. I don't know what the, no. How much does the Cajun Dome hold?
It would be the equivalent to putting it in the middle of the Miccosukee. What's the lake? The lake. I'm talking about the lake up by Okeechobee. Just putting it right in the middle. Building, like, yeah. Lafayette? No. You know who lives in that area?
Who?
The Duck Commanders.
That's where he's from, though.
I know.
That's where he's from.
And every time you watch Duck Commander, what'd you notice? No people.
I just think that's gonna be cool. I can't wait to see that. That sounds.
If he goes to New Orleans, they've never had one in New Orleans.
Maybe a while ago. Like it's one of those things where I think it's been like decades, maybe since they've been back there.
New Orleans doesn't have the money as other cities, so that might be why. Also,
maybe. Let me see. The last fight in New Orleans was in 2011, and it was at the Montreal Convention Center.
Oh my God, that's nothing.
Jake Shields versus Josh Ellenberger.
Okay, well, that's why.
Attendance of 7,100.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, they haven't had a real event there. And at the Smoothie King Center? Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't think of, you know, when I was a kid, guess who I saw fight?
Who?
Muhammad Ali.
That's cool.
In the Super
Bowl. You did? Mm-hmm. Who did he fight?
Was it one of the Spinks brothers? Or no. Who was it? It was it wasn't one of the Spinks brothers. It was I can't remember. Was it 75? 75? I was just little.
Fight. It was at the Superdome?
Yeah.
Let's see. Muhammad Ali, yeah, he fought Leon Spinks.
Leon Spinks. Okay. Yeah.
September 15th, 1978.
I was 10 years old.
Wow. Dave South says that you saw Joe Lewis fight.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank Joe Lewis's ass.
Thank you. So it and it's crazy. You know what's funny about sports? You don't think it's that big of a deal when you're there. And now you think about it, it's like, wow, that was a rare, you know, thing.
That's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. That's like even when we had like the stuff here for the Canelo fight. Like, I don't care that he took on the Turkish wolf. Ridiculous. But we still at least got to see him fight. That was cool. I mean, I know we went to go see him fight, but like we saw in
Las Vegas. My favorite part of going to the fights with you is you're excited about all of the ancillary things. And this is where I remember we went to see Rigondeaux versus Chucky. Wait. And Tobin goes, hey, watch this. He's getting ready to come out with a giant Chucky doll. Remember the doll? Oh, my God.
By the way, speaking of boxing, I saw our boy Harold Calderon, I think, is getting a title fight. I think he's fighting on De La Hoya's card. Coming up. I think I just saw him post that. He's going to be in Vegas. When is this? Harold, you're fighting November 2nd.
Is he ready? You know what I mean? Because we had the conversations about size and power. Is he ready?
I think so. I got to be honest. I don't know the guy that he's fighting, but it's a WBO title fight. So it's a legit belt, man. It's on the zone.
They said you saw Sugar Ray fight Jake LaMotta.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, man.
We'll take a quick break. Back with more shenanigans on the other side.
It's our number 2-0 with Tobin and Leroy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Leroy going off to do his Cleveland hit. I'm sure that's going to be positive today. Wow.
Jameis, you think that's what they're chanting right now?
I think they have to be, dude. I think they have to be at this point. I don't know, man, who do they even have this week? Like, what is rock bottom for them if it is not now? I don't know. I don't know what.
They got Cincinnati this week.
That may do it. I mean, you lose another divisional game, and then Cincinnati kind of gets their ship right, and you're completely – it's a huge game. Because, like, if Cincinnati gets that win,
they're
3-4. And then, you know, Cleveland drops to 1-6. Yeah, dude, I think that's curtains. So, yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
If you're giving Amari Cooper away, Tobin, who else are they going to give away? And why can't the Dolphins get involved in some of these players that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of the things where I see a lot of the Dolphin fans, and I get the frustration because, you know, you watch your two division rivals go and make big moves. I mean, they're moves that you weren't going to make because you have your star receivers. So, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, the Jets are all in because Aaron Rodgers is old. You have to. Like, if you legitimately have gone the full Aaron Rodgers buy-in, it is his organization, go do what he wants, and then protect him and make sure you let them all know. You have, you know, megaphones like Pat McAfee let you know that it wasn't him and that they won't question him on anything. And then all of a sudden, Devontae Adams is there. The Bills, look, to me, that's the bigger issue right now. You got your Jets games coming up later on in the year, but that Dolphins matchup against Buffalo on the road with what is hopefully going to be a Tua who is looking okay. I mean, that's the hope is if you can get yourself to 3-3 this week coming off the bye, if Mike McDaniel can finally get this offense humming in the right direction, look like a competent football team. And what's not an easy game by any means, especially with you basically consider the Dolphins wins, whether you want to give him credit or not. I know Leroy, I only say this because he's gone, because I know he would jump.
Well, now that he's gone, let's get into this. Let's play total games. But I mean, what is this week? What is this week game?
You got two wins against arguably two of the worst teams in the league. Barely. Okay. You never led against Jacksonville.
It doesn't matter. You won. It doesn't matter.
Fine. It does, but it does though, Vlad. It does matter when you really are trying to assess this thing, because the big dirty secret about the Dolphins, and I told you this, week two is a statement game against Buffalo.
Okay,
and this has all been thrown under the umbrella of yes, Tua got hurt, but they were getting the snot kicked out of them before he got hurt in that game,
and that's absolutely true. So what is week seven? What is this week seven game after a bye? A winnable game on the road against a 3-3.
It's almost a reset. Like, that's what it is. If you are able to get yourself to 3-3, it's almost like the season starts over again. If Tua comes back, if Tua truly comes back and is back week eight, and you're able to get yourself to 3-3, it's almost like the season is a clean slate. I don't know, because you have this game going at home, a place you're good at. Tua's been good at a winnable game. You know, not exactly the most dynamic team in the world, but they, you know, you never know. They've pulled out some interesting ones against their divisional rivals this year. And then that all sets up for a road matchup against Buffalo, which is really going to show, for me, it's going to show, is this season truly going anywhere? We're going to know over these 3 weeks.
So 4-3 going into Buffalo would show you a lot.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It would show me a lot. Even if they aren't able to pull out this week and they are able to get back into 500 against the Cardinals, if Tua's back, there'll still be some set of that. It'll be a line drawn in the sand. To me, it all is going to come down to week nine above. I mean, unless they lose the next two, then you're getting a little ridiculous. But if the Dolphins even split these next two, you'll be at a point going to that week nine game. It is going to be one of those line in the sands of, okay, are we for real or is this all just a waste of time? Because Buffalo is going to go running high with the division again. And, you know, you'll be scrapping for a wild card and probably end up in Antarctica in the first round and it won't work out if at all, you know, that's the most optimistic view of it.
So,
but no, if there is a path here to the Dolphins fixing this disaster, there is a path.
There is.
It's not. I don't feel fantastic about it, but if you are able to get through the Tua-less games at 2-2, you did your job. Then it comes down. Then the pressure really picks up, though, because you're sitting here and being like, all right, Tua, we look at you as the guy who is a miracle worker. You're going to make the offense hum again, which it really wasn't humming with him there anyway. You're going to have these expectations. He better go up and have one of these dazzling performances against Arizona to up your confidence. And yeah, again, I just feel like that week nine matchup is going to be absolutely monstrous, because if you lose again to Buffalo and you get swept again by Buffalo, I mean, what are we doing?
Because the odds are
at that point, Vlad, the odds are, even if you catch them, they'll have the tiebreaker over you.
Right, they'll have the two games over you, but Tobin, can you also cut him a little slack? It'd probably be his second game back since the injury, since the concussion. So he might not be.
I would cut him slack if it was his first game.
But the second game?
I mean, what are we doing here? Oh, like, man. Vlad, by all accounts, everybody has said, okay, I know that the way the injury looked was scary, and I'm no doctor, okay?
Right, so
I
don't mean to sound. That he's been ready to go like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't mean to sound insensitive on this, but everybody has been like, great spirits, going to Disney on ice, acting completely normal around his teammates. Yeah, he's talked to some experts, but this hasn't been the back and forth of, oh, should he continue to play? Should he play the rest of the year? What's this going to look like? It hasn't been that. You'll definitely be thinking about it when Tua plays. It's impossible not to think about it. I don't want him to run for another yard. I don't care. Do your jujitsu. Do your back rolls. I don't want any of this nonsense of trying to pick up first downs. You pass for your first downs now, Tua. That's what you do. We don't run for 10. Every time, Nick Saban has said this, every time this guy tries to extend a play, bad things happen, okay? It just does. Let it go. He needs to just, that's who you are. It's okay. I understand that he got a little false sense of security last year, and he didn't like the way that his body felt. Tough nuggets. We're here to survive, to have a long-term career in the NFL. And running ain't for you, dude. It's just not. You're not big enough. You're not fast enough. You're not elusive. There's no point to it. You are a good quarterback. I truly believe that. I think you're a great passer. But the running thing has got to stop. It's stupid. It's a stupid thing. It was stupid since Frog Boy was badgering him about it. It was stupid that any trainer that got in his ear, whether it be John Becker or whomever that was telling him to lose weight, it was stupid advice. He should have been wearing a gi this entire time. All he should have been doing was doing jujitsu instead of losing weight. He should be able to basically do backflips now so he doesn't hit his head. It is the number one thing that they should have been focused on. And instead, they said, why don't we make him a dual threat quarterback? And I'm like, for what? For 30 yards of rushing? He's not fast. It's ridiculous, Schmeathen says. Two people who aren't built to run, Tua and Tobin. Exactly, dude. Which is why you should take this advice from me. So silly.
But don't you think, then, Tobin, and this week, this is on Coach. This is on Coach McDaniel.
Oh, it's been on Coach McDaniel.
I know, but this one is really on Coach McDaniel because you had a bye week. Yes. So the offense should be a little bit better than what we saw against New England. He's had Snoop Huntley's had a couple more weeks inside the state, inside Dolphins facilities. He has a couple more weeks being more comfortable with the offense. I need to see Coach do some things this weekend against Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because they're also they're in a little bit of a wild card because we don't know what they're going to get with their quarterback coming back.
And no Jonathan Taylor, I believe. He might not
play this weekend. He might not play. He's got the high ankle sprain. I mean, we'll continue to take a look at that. Their run game without him definitely suffers, for sure. That's a big blow for them. Then that probably means you would want Richardson to run a little bit more, but then like he's coming off the hip injury, and he has dealt with durability issues. So are they going to be more cautious about that? Because the interesting thing with them is Steichen has already taken heat because they feel like everybody feels like they sent him out injured the last time around. So that'll definitely be an interesting dynamic that has to be looked at. But as far as McDaniel's concerned, yeah, the pressure's on him. I did see Jalen Waddle this week was asked because he said that Snoop reached out to him during the bye and was asking, could he throw? And it didn't sound like Jalen Waddle came in and did extra throwing. It sounded like he was enjoying his bye week. Which
you know what I've noticed this year, if there's one guy you've been counting down on, it's been number 17 for the Dolphins.
You know, and
you
this
called
kind
him
of
Jalen Waddle. I believe.
I don't think I called him that. I don't think I called.
Yes,
him that.
Yes, you did. You called him Jalen Waddle. Yes, I have it.
I don't think I did. I don't think we have it.
We have it.
I don't think I called him that. But yes, bigger point is. The bigger point is, it's not that I'm hard on Jalen Waddle. I say this as somebody who is a big Jalen Waddle fan. I just think this is a big year. Need everybody to step up where they can. And in the windows of these games where he's had opportunities to step up, he has not. He has not. And now your quarterback was looking for you. He's like, hey Jalen, can we get a couple more throws in, buddy? Yeah, he gives you the old Magic Johnson. I'm not going to be there. You know, Jalen Waddle's a bum. Get him off the team already and trade him for Davante Adams. Too late. Jalen Waddle going out there. Fat pockets, no catches. That's true. No touchdowns. Van Ginkle has more touchdowns than you. Two more touchdowns than you. But look, every once in a while, I do this with the guys that I love. Duncan Robinson, Carter Verhaeghe, Jalen Waddle. Sometimes you need a little Tobe stuff love. That's it. I am a fan of Jalen Waddle. Just like to see, you know, step up. Let's go. And if Snoop is out there and he's asking you to throw a little more, you should have been there. You can't be lackluster on the field, okay? We've had no Waddle. Have you seen Stephen Ross do a sexy dance?
I don't want to see Stephen Ross do a sexy dance. That sexy dance.
He basically gave you that extension so he could do his sexy dance Waddle. You want to know why, dude? Because he took his blue chew. That's what Stephen Ross had going for him.
Definitely.
Let me tell you about a little. Let me tell you about our friends over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can chew it and do it. Whether you want to waddle in the bedroom, wobble in the bedroom, make big-time catches in the bedroom, Blue Chew is for you. Whether you're married looking to spice things up or single trying to impress someone new, your partner wants you to be your best in the bedroom. Have your own little TD celebration when you score. Got a special deal for all our listeners out there, all right? You guys can try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code SHOWPONY. Use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. You're paying just $5 for shipping, but you are getting your first month of Blue Chew for free. Use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout, and you're getting your first month of Blue Chew for free. Go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. Let's mix it on up here, dude. We got the mixed bag. Miami Hurricanes getting set for a high noon showdown with the Louisville Cardinals, always a thorn in the Canes' side, many a years. And this is definitely one of those you want to keep the ACC rolling. Every game feels uber important for the Miami Hurricanes. You, of course, are going out on the road. I'm sure it's going to be a crazy environment for them. And this Canes team is getting a lot of attention. I think it's been very noticeable. Every time the Canes are on top, it does feel like people are dying to see them follow this through, and you don't want to let down, whether it be the times when the turnover chain was coming back, and now you got the Cam Ward, Zombieland Selly that Western Kentucky's coming for copyright infringement on because he made it more popular than they did. And it is a really cool thing. You know, Cam Ward certainly deserves a bulk of the credit for bringing the Miami Hurricanes here. But also, to see where he's at now in these mock drafts, to see where he's at now. I mean, I saw one today, Vlad. ESPN Plus has him. Top five pick. Would be the first Canes top five pick in 20 years. Sean Taylor, if he were taken in the top five, going to the Las Vegas Raiders. That's what kind of year this has been right now. So, while he has certainly, I think, brought the Canes to new heights, it is cool also to see him do it on a stage. I think that brand still means a lot to college football. And so for him to have this this background of doing this and bringing the Miami Hurricanes to another level would just be absolutely monstrous. But one guy who has been through the nitty-gritty, the thick of it all, has been Xavier Restrepo. And that man, he just makes badass catch after badass catch. He spoke to the media yesterday, and one of the big headlines coming out of this is that the players at 6-0 had a players-only meeting. And this is what X had to say about that.
I feel like that's why, you know, this year is different. Guys on the team, you know, are not satisfied with 6-0. Again, I'm going to say it over and over again. We haven't played our best ball yet. There's a very, very long way to go. Definitely reachable. And it's right in the palm of our hands. We just have to, you know, execute better. And everybody knows that. And that's why, you know, we keep striving for better and better and not satisfied.
There you go. Wait, Xavier Restrepo.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are we sure this guy's not related to that MMA fighter you guys spoke to like not too long ago? Why is his left side of his face all swolled up like that?
I don't know, dude.
He looked like he was in MMA training, bro.
I don't know.
You didn't see that? You didn't see it? You didn't see?
I see it, but I don't know if that's like something that he had. Like, I know that that's kind of like the way that he
looks.
I'm
just saying, he's just coming off a bye.
I don't think like he got punched in the face.
I would hope not. I mean, he's coming off a bye, and I think it's
like a thing he's had. That's not new.
Okay.
That's not new. You know, some of you are saying that he has a condition. I think his condition is that.
I didn't know that.
I don't think that's a new thing. But also what his condition is making incredible catches because he's amazing.
Okay. All right.
He is amazing. But yeah, I love that. I mean, the idea that he is taking it upon himself to be one of those leaders is absolutely awesome. And yeah, I just feel like Vlad, every time you need a monster catch, there is Xavier Restrepo to go make it. He has been there with whoever the quarterback is in his time. He has been there to be his best friend, and now he is there and he has potentially a first round quarterback zinging the football. And I gotta tell you, he looks like he could be a hell of a pro himself with how he is just always finds himself in the right place and always comes up with a tough catch. So love that from Xavier Restrepo. Then we got this. So yesterday, the Miami Heat, they were taking on a team called the San Antonio Spurs in preseason action. Jimmy Buckets got into it a little bit with Chris Paul. But I think the thing that was great about it is you saw a Jimmy Butler who was engaged the entire game. He loves trolling Chris Paul for whatever reason. And Eric Spoelstra loves seeing his star player go out there and look like he was all in invested, stepping up for his teammates and having that kind of energy. And he says that's been there since training camp from Jimmy.
It, you know, in training camp, you know, he's like that. You put a score on anything, he's going to go after it. And, you know, yeah, we're the Heat. So we like all these kind of like emotions, even if it's preseason.
Yeah, it was good. Goes out there and just...
You're so happy for Eddie. I love it. You're like a little kid right before Christmas. Any positive Heat news, especially about Jimmy, makes you so happy.
It does make me happy.
Brings joy to you, doesn't it?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, I do think that there was a little bit of a disconnect knowing what Jimmy was going through in his personal life last year. But I think also, I think there was a little bit of an exhaustion. And you know what else happened, Vlad, that I really think just put a stink over last year?
What was that?
The Dame trade not going through. I think everybody feeling like their futures were in doubt, other than Bam or Jimmy, but Tyler, Duncan, Jaime, Nico, all of these guys had no idea they were going to be the Heat. Then you're back on the team. You're like, all right, we didn't do anything off that finals run.
But so
this year, dude, the vibes are
I get that. And I'm very, very happy that it is, because I think you guys are going to do very well this season. You're my surprise, because I've watched, everybody go to the YouTube channel, Tobin's YouTube channel, and you get more content of your local teams. And I saw it with one where you were like general managers, anonymous general managers, and not showing the Heat respect, which is always, to me, the recipe for disaster with the Miami Heat, because every time you don't pay them a respect, they go on and, you know, win the Eastern Conference. So
I just think, I saw Stan Van Gundy came out this week, right?
And right.
He was very blunt. He's been a pretty harsh Jimmy critic through all this. And I like Stan.
There's still Heat Stan, you know.
Well, that's the thing that I think is interesting about it. Like, he is not as much as he is, I think, loved in the Heat organization. Every time he comes for a broadcast, that dude is hobnobbing basically from the time he walks in the arena until the game starts. And I do think Stan does a good job, but he was pretty blunt in saying he doesn't think they're in the ballpark of Boston, New York, or Philly. He doesn't think they stack up with Indy, Cleveland, or Orlando. And like, dude, I think everybody's got to go catch Boston. Obviously, I hate their guts, but you got to give them their due, even though all they do is whine about not getting their due. even though all we've done is cover Boston ad nauseum. I think the Knicks are very, very interesting. I think they're going to be a very good team because all I've been waiting for them is to add interesting pieces around Jalen Brunson that are going to fit. Karl Anthony Towns, he's skilled. I don't know if that's going to be the final one. It's a gamble, but I think they're going to be talented. I think that they'll win a lot of games. But, dude, if I have to sit here and listen to anybody, and I mean anybody, tell me about the Philadelphia 76ers, are you effing hot? Like, how many times are you people going to do this to yourself? And on top of it, you're like, well, they added Paul George. He's the perfect fit. Dude, he's been the perfect fit for everybody since 2014. Okay? That has been the thing. Paul George. We got Paul George. It's going to be amazing. We got Paul George. Dude, I'm telling you right now, get the hell out of here with the Philadelphia 76ers. I will not stand for it. I actually think Indiana's a more dangerous team.
I think Milwaukee's a dangerous team.
I don't know. They're a little long in the tooth. Little long in the tooth.
Okay. Dude. Listen. Because I want to go back to what you said.
Yep.
You said that it took the team a while to get over the Dame trade.
Right.
And I can also say maybe it took Dame a while to get over the fact that he didn't go to Miami as well.
That's true.
So
I think Doc Rivers told Bill Simmons that like he was afraid to work out last summer because he didn't want to get hurt. But, dude, there's just something about playing with Giannis. Like, I think it takes a Drew Holiday. You know, like it takes an unselfish guy. I don't know about him, and it feels like on paper it should work, but I don't know. There's just something about it, and then the rest of the guys are ancient.
Right.
It's just something about it.
I'm just saying that. Okay, now that everybody knows their role, nobody has to worry about being traded. There's a comfort level with everyone on the Miami Heat roster.
Yep.
That's a dangerous team.
I know. Just this idea. I think everybody's more comfortable. I think Tyler's bought in to what they wanted to do. I don't know, man. So I didn't like Stan Van Gundy dismissing the Miami Heat. I thought it was a little bit much from Stan. And quite frankly, I'm a little tired of the Van Gundys.
Here's the problem.
All of them.
There's no basketball being played yet. Who cares?
Well, legit basketball.
That's literally all I care about.
I know, but like, yeah, you can have your opinion. But until basketball is played, everybody's opinion is good. So your opinion is great, too. What, Heat and Five? Great opinion. Nobody ain't played a damn bit of
like
basketball.
I don't like what you're doing.
It's true, though.
What'd you do just now in Cleveland? You say, we got to see.
No.
You said Jameis?
I blasted Deshaun Watson.
Did you say Jameis? You could blast.
You know that hurt.
What'd you say?
I just said, I watch film. And I see guys running in the secondary, waving hands wide open, and he throwing check downs. He ain't looking in the right places. I don't know what you do about that. Getting rid of the wide receiver, that's the third step in a completion. What about the protection and the quarterback?
So you said pack it up?
Huh?
What'd you do? You say pack it up? You say bench him?
No, I didn't say. You can't date. Listen, the thing about rich people.
They're rich.
They ain't going mid a loss. They're going to ride this out.
The Walmart family did.
Yeah.
But it's easy.
Why is Mike Tomlin messing with the quarterback? Or you think this is all games?
Right. Before Leroy breaks it down in football wise, let's give the fan reaction. He never said that Russell Wilson was not the starting quarterback. He said he was going to be the starting quarterback before he was injured. So, in football theory, he can't lose his starting job due to injury.
Unless you're Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Drew Bledsoe.
Well, that's different, unless you're Belichick.
And they also won the Super Bowl that year.
Well, they continue to.
I'm just saying, that year, they won the Super Bowl. So, here. He always has an out. Here's what the out is. And all coaches use it. I know what the rule is, but it's my job to win football games. And right now, we're on a roll, and I don't want to change the team dynamic.
Right.
End of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So there is. Now, here's the other. Here's the real football conversation that's being had in the building. When they watch film on a daily basis and they're watching plays being run and they're seeing, okay, we designed this play. And, ooh, look at this guy going coming open.
Right.
Right? And he's not throwing it and he's tucking it in and running for 10 yards. That play looks great. But as a coaching staff, you're like, what we wanted to happen is there and he's not throwing it. And if you have a bunch of those situations during the course of a game, then you're like, we're winning, but this quarterback is not seeing the field right. Then you make a change, even though you're winning.
Well, we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Get you caught up with your headlines. Back after this.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.